We will go and continue our lesson in the book of Ruth tonight. You know, I just want to share a blessing to you. Anybody has a blessing to share tonight? Do you have a blessing you want to share tonight? I got a blessing. But I want you to share yours if you have one. Then I share mine. Anybody have a blessing? Lord, everybody's okay down here. you turn your books to Ruth chapter 2. I'm going to go to Ruth chapter 2. I really enjoy this book of Ruth because I'm staying here in this book for quite a long time already. Ruth chapter 2, and we were moving out of this book. Today I kind of was walking through work and start talking with this guy, and his name was Tony, but Tony. And he started talking to me, and then I realized he's a Christian. What a blessing. There's like a man right there. So we just had something in common immediately. What a joy to just chat with him for a little bit of time and talking about the Lord. And so that was a blessing. So that was just, I just rejoiced in the Lord. I said, God, Lord, you're so good to us. I mean, sometimes you think you're all by yourself in the workplace and nobody there. There's another Christian there. So it's a blessing. It would bless my heart to talk with another fellow and talk about the ways of the Lord today. So it blessed my heart with that. So I just want to share with you. Sometimes, you know, you never know who you talk with. And actually, he pushed the conversation, and immediately I go, oh. And you were Christians. So anyway, let's look at Ruth chapter 2, verse 17. Ruth chapter 2, verse 17. If you go there in your Bible, and it says, so she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went out into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be ye that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law which whom she had wrought, and said, this the man's name which whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her, to her daughter-in-law, blessed be ye of the Lord, who hath not left of us kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabite said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young man until they had indeed ended all my harvest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. We can take so much from it. We can go many directions, Lord, but I have the message tonight that you put in my heart. And I just pray, Father, as I teach it, Lord, teach me as well and give us something to each one of us tonight to take home. We can apply to our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, the message tonight, when God is working. When God is working. So we look at this from different angles, the same verses. Now tonight we're going to look from a different angle. We're going to look at the Lord tonight. As he doing these things? Sometimes, you know, we think, let me put it this way. We live in a day and age today that most people think it's got about this small. This is significant. And they don't see how God can make a difference in their lives. And this, unfortunately, Christian live this way too. I hope so. Maybe this thing will come. I don't know. But we hope so. Listen, Christians don't live in a hope so. If a Christian live in the hope so, he's not trusting God. Okay? We live there on God is in control. God is taking care of me and God is guiding me. That's Christians. That's when we live a life of faith. If we're going to live the life of I hope so, literally we're not trusting the Lord. And for us Christians, we have to trust the Lord. So we live in this day and age where there's the I hope so attitude. May we don't get the mind of the world, because the world lives in I hope so attitude. And then people say, oh, I hope the new year will be better. God says, take one day at a time. That's what the Lord says to us. So saved or unsaved people, of all unsaved people. Mountains and valleys are part of everyone's life's journeys, isn't it? Life's journeys is filled of mountains and valleys. All of us goes through the mountaintop, and all of us finds ourselves in the valleys many times. It's part of life. I don't know where you are right now. Are you in the mountaintop rejoicing in the Lord, or are you in the valley below trying to get to the top of the mountain again? So all of us are somewhere there. I tell you what, today I was in the mountaintop. Believe me. And I'm still in the mountaintop because I'm rejoicing. I started my day reading my Bible. I went all the way to work, and then I stayed there. When I got to work very early, I worked on one of my messages in my car. I had a good time. Came inside at work, and I synced for hours on end. Just rejoicing in the Lord. I was just singing. The Lord put a song in my heart. I told my wife, actually, I sing a song. I don't remember the song, but I sing the song for hours on end. Same song. You know, when you sing the same song over and over. That's what I did today. Then I met a fellow Christian. So I was in the mountaintop today rejoicing. It doesn't mean that, you know, we don't have problems. I mean, I was rejoicing above the problems. I was just rejoicing in the Lord today. But some of you might be in a valley below today. Like, you know, discouraged, beaten down, and all these. It happens to all of us. So, there are seasons where we are on the mountaintop enjoying life and praising the Lord. And it is in those seasons of life where we actually find it easy to praise the Lord. Of course, when life is easy, when everything is wonderful, when we're on the mountaintop, guess what? It's easy to praise God, isn't it? Is it easy to praise God when we're crying? Is it easy to sing to the Lord when we are sad and discouraged? No. We can do it, but it's not easy. So it is those times when we're in the mountaintop that we rejoice. But there are also the seasons seasons of life on which we are just in the deep valley. You ever been in the deep valley? I've been in the deep valley. And I believe all of us at one time or another been in the deep valley, discouraged, beaten down. And those valleys sometimes can be very deep. We say, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this one. And we look at the mountain, and the mountain is way up there, and it's like, how in the world I'm going to climb to that mountain. You know how we do it? It's by the grace of God. It's God and His grace and mercy that causes us and elevates and pushes us to all the way to the top. And let me tell you this. When Naomi and Ruth left Moab, they were in the valley. Naomi was bitter. Ruth lost her husband. Then she decided to leave her family, her homeland, and go into the land of Israel, which was a total stranger. And she chose to live with a backsliding, bitter believer. So they were in the valley. And they got to the land of Israel. And guess what? There is no food. They're just pretty much like, they just have part of, I would say, their clothes on their bodies. And let me tell you, they were in the deep valley. But it's one thing that we see here in this book is how God is pushing them to the mountaintop. And that's what God does to me and you. Literally behind the scenes, God is pushing us to the mountaintop. So there are those seasons of life. Those are the seasons where some Christians have a hard time praising the Lord when they're in the valley. But either season that you may be in right now, may I remind you that the Lord is always behind the scenes working and guiding His children along. Hard to believe, isn't it, when we are in the valley, isn't it? God, where are you? God, I am suffering. I'm struggling. I'm crying. I'm broken right here. Where are you? Let me put it this way. I was reading Exodus this morning. I'm going through my Bible. Are you going through your Bible? I'm going to my Bible. Exodus chapter 6. But I was reading to my Bible, and guess what? The children of Israel were crying to God. Because the slavery that they were living in Egypt. And they didn't know what God was doing. But behind the scenes, God was already working in the life of Moses. What? To deliver His people. And that's what happens. We never know what God is doing. But God is always behind the scenes in our behalf. You know why He does that? He does this because He loves you enough to do that. He's a God of love. And He always puts His love into action. So Ruth the Moabite, the young believer, has gone to the field of Boaz to glean barley. While she was there, she met the owner of the field. She caught his eye. She ate lunch at his table, and he personally served her food. When she left the field that day, she left with more than she bargained for. Ruth returns home that evening, weary and tired from her labors, but she had a tale to tell. All day, her mother-in-law, obviously, was waiting for her. And believe me, I said this before about this passage. It was no cell phones in those days. It was no phones at all. It was a person that was at home waiting for the other person that went to work somewhere. And according to, from what we know, Naomi had no idea where Ruth went to work. It happened that God behind the scenes was guiding that young lady, and she went up in Boaz's fields. That's why I say to young people, listen, we have young people here today. Don't rush into marriage. Oh, you know, I'm going to get. Listen, wait on the Lord and let the Lord guide you. You say, well, let's listen. If we are Christians, they say, I'm going to live by faith, stand by faith, and walk by faith, and trust God, then that's what you need to do. God will send you a spouse. You don't need to go to the marketplace and try to buy one or get one. Believe me. See, all day long, she was waiting on Ruth. And we see the example right here. Ruth goes, minds her business, and guess what? God said, I'm going to take care of you. I got you a husband. So when Ruth does return, she is loaded down with enough grain to last a whole week. We've been talking about that. Not only does she give grain, but she also had some good news to tell as well. I want to share that good news with you today. It is that we all need to hear, because this good news will help each one of us grow in our walk with the Lord. So there are some mighty big truths here in this passage here that we need to grab hold tonight so we can apply to our lives, especially when we are in the valleys. You might not be in the valley right now, it might be rejoicing, but let me tell you, sometimes we get in the deep valleys faster than we think. So we need those things. So let's look at this from several points tonight. The good news of God's provision. We see here the good news of God's provision. We see this in verse 17, in verse 18. When it comes to provision, many people have no problem taking all the credit for themselves. It is easy for a father or a mother to say, I'm the one who provides for this family. I'm the one who get up early. I'm the one who going to work. You better listen to me. Some guys even say to their wives and even to their kids, you better treat me like a king, because I'm the one who's going to work every day and you guys stay home. What a shame when a guy speaks that way. You say, but I'm the one who provides. I'm the one who makes the dough. I'm the one who make the money for this home. Really? Did you ever heard such statements in homes? Listen, I worked in construction, general constructions, for many years with my dad. And let me tell you, I heard that statement many times, and statements even worse than that. When they really make everybody else feel guilty. One time I remember a couple talking about the color they're going to put in their living room in their kitchen. And we're sitting in there waiting because they're deciding whatever color they're going to put there. And the husband suddenly turns to the wife and said, you know what? It's going to be my color because I'm the one who work and you don't. Oh, that didn't turn very well. But you see, but people turn that way. I says, my call is my money, so you just go right along because I'm going to do it. And he did it. He did it. But we hear those things. So you see, even though it is us, or maybe you, who go to work and provide for our families, the Lord must not be forgotten. Actually, if we want to be correct about this statement, like I mentioned, who are continually being made by many people, God must be mentioned and must be given the glory when we open our mouths. Because if I go to work and provide for my family, it's because God allows me so. He gives me the help to do so. He provides me the work so I can go to work. It's all these things. And if we say, I do this and I do that, look at the thing, I. You know what? Selfishness. That's what it comes down to. It's not I. So if the Lord provide me this job, the Lord gives me help to go to work, and the Lord keeps taking care of us so we can better provide for my family, not the other way around. And when we begin to say, I, it's pure selfishness. Actually, no husband should mention that, because every husband is called to support their family. And it's Bible right there. God says in His Word that a husband is to support his family, and the wife, if it goes to the workplace, that husband should thank that wife all the time. He said, "Thank you, honey, for helping me with the finances in the home." And that husband should go home and help his wife as well. Yes, we go and work hard to provide for our families, but that's what God calls us to do. So, the good news is of God's provision. Letter A, God's provision are satisfying. God's provision, now look what it says in verse 17. See, and she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Let me tell you this. When she went to the field to glean, that's the way that God designed that in the law, and it was little leftovers that was left in there. But God provided enough for her to bring home more than she wanted to. But let me tell you, ain't God good? Many years early, God made sure in His law that the people of Israel, the poor of the land, and the strangers that come to the land of Israel, have something, some provision, so they could eat. So they won't die of hunger. Let me tell you, that's a good God, a good Lord that looks at this thing and say, the destitute, the ones I need, I'm going to make sure they have some provision. And Ruth was in that boat. And let me tell you, and God was providing for Ruth. So when Ruth returned home, she had about 25 pounds of barley. This was more than enough to feed for about a week. So Ruth went looking for enough for one meal and returned with enough to feed them for a week. And let me tell you, folks, let me put it this way. You might not believe me, but when we trust God, when we believe in what He says in His Word and do it, let me put it this way. God provides more than what we ask for. And you say, well, it's easy for you to say, listen, I've been practicing this since I've been saved. And God is a God that provides. And if you don't believe me, come to me and I will show you what God does. Let me put it this. Oh, I don't give my tithes and offerings because if I do, I'm going to miss on this and this and that. And let me tell you, try God, because that's what He says in His Word. Try me. You go read the Word of God and it says, try me. If I don't open the windows of heaven, it says, bless you beyond measure. I'm just paraphrasing the verse right here. But let me tell you, we have to believe what God says, believe in His Word, and put into practice. And see, God, I'm not just going to say, I agree with you. I'm going to believe you. And because I'm going to believe you, I'm going to put into practice. I am going to allow you to provide. Let me tell you this. All the years I've been in church, for 20, almost 24 years, I never went hungry to this day. All my bills have been paid to this day. And you know what? And we keep on trusting the Lord. And He provides above and beyond what we ask for. He is a good God, and we have no reason not to trust Him. We have to trust Him with all our will and say, Lord, I trust You. I know it's a hard thing to do, but I trust You. And believe me, we have to trust. So when Ruth went looking for enough for one meal, like I said, and when she came back, she had enough for a week. And we say, ain't God good? Boaz wanted her to get so much in his field that she would never even dream of gleaning anywhere else. And let me tell you this. God is a God of provision. God is not in the business of holding from us. God is a God that wants to give to us abundantly. You know what happened? A lot of times we miss it because of our unbelief and our mistrust in God. Man, it's easy to say, I trust You, Lord. Anybody can say that. Oh, I believe You, Lord. Listen, when we put our belief into practice and our trust into practice and our faith into practice, then we see the provision of God. Listen, when the widow went to the temple and gave all that she had, what was she doing over there? She was trusting God. She gave everything she had. She went home and she had nothing else. But let me tell you, I don't believe that God let her die. God provides. And we see fruit right here. Ruth went to glean for a day, and she got food for a week. I believe she was coming and praising God when she got home. I believe And that's what changed the heart of Naomi, a bitter believer that was just bitter at God. It kind of softened her heart. So note, our Heavenly Father is determined to guide us and bless His people. Actually, Ephesians 1:3, if you want to note that verse down, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So we have to read these verses and say, what God's trying to tell me here? So like Boaz, the Lord wants us to give you so much that you will never think about going anywhere else to glean, but glean in the Word of God. Listen, folks. It is easy to read the Word. It is easy to agree with the Word. It is easy to say, I believe. It is easy to say, I trust. But the hardest thing to do is do what God says. And God says to you and me, obey me, trust me. Believe me, believe in my word, and you're going to be blessed beyond measure. And I say, my heart cries to those who don't do that. You know why? Because the way we respond to it, it really shows the type of faith that we have and the trust that we have in God. If God says, give with this hand, give, don't hold it back. Because believe me, if you give with your heart, what God's asking you to give, guess what? He's going to bless you even more. And I'm not saying that if you're thinking just about money, not even what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about your talents, and I'm thinking about your time. I'm thinking about your family, all these things. If God says do this, do it. And guess what? He's going to bless you more than what you think. Let it be. We see God's provision are the design to show. Look at verse 18. It's in the eyes of your understanding. Actually, Ephesians 1:18 says, in the eyes of your understanding, being enlightened, that you may know that is the hope of his calling and that the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. Can you see Ruth as she throws the 25 pounds across her shoulder and heads home to her mother-in-law? Can you imagine the smile on her face and being satisfied with God's provision? Did she work for it? Yes, she did. Did she put a sweat out? Yes, she did. But who provided? God did. Because according to the law, it was just leftovers in the fields and for the poor to glean. She got more than she bargained for. See, everyone who sees her past knows that she was a Moabite girl. They know that she has nothing. And by now, most of them know that she was gone to the field of Boaz to glean. It was a little town, so everybody knows everybody in there. So folks, they can see that she had received a great blessing. And let me tell you, when we receive great blessings from the Lord, you know why? It causes other people to rejoice as well. So let's trust God. Note this, God's blessings in your life are designed to show a lost world just how good God is. Sometimes people purposely say things to me. You know, I say to people all the time, I'm blessed beyond measure. Even in my workplace, and they look at me, I'm blessed beyond measure. You know why? Because you just give glory to the Lord, because that's what He does. All that we have is God's blessings. Mm-hmm. And you just say, I'm blessed beyond measure. You see, He is a God who provides. He is the God that who takes care. He is the God that loves you. He is the God who blesses His people to create a desire for Him in His heart, in their hearts. That is why He gives us grace for living. He wants to use us as living testimonies of His grace, His power, and His glory. Look what the Bible says in Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. As we live out the real blessings of God, the world is going to be affected by God's work in us. Listen, when people say to you, oh, you're just a lucky person, turn that word around and say, no, I am a blessed person. Because we Christians, we just should not believe in such thing as luck. Actually, there's no such thing as luck. But we can say, I've been blessed by the Lord. And you know what? It's a testimony to them that you are a believer, that they can have the same blessings as well. The Bible describes many blessings that the Lord have in store for each one of His children. And why we don't have it many times, because we don't really trust Him. Now, I think the greatest blessing is when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us. When that happens, our blessing will show to those around the greatness of our God. And let me tell you, our God is a good God, a providing God, a loving God, and He cares about you and me. Look what it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And let me tell you this, and when we trust God and we walk in His ways and we say, Lord, I know it's hard, but I'm going to trust You. Guess that's the fruit of trusting God. Not the fruits, the fruit of trusting God. We are satisfied in the ways of the Lord. Let me tell you, it was something about today in my job. It was interesting. It's amazing. When you give glory to God, our people just grabs the attention. We had this thing. You may get as short as I can on this one. Before we went on, we always have an incentive package that they give us. And it's always for each incentive, it's like $250 there. And for some reason, nobody knows if we're going to get it because the numbers were so bad. For some reason today, it came out the thing that we were going to get. And I was like, how in the world this came to be? But then the question is about how many hours you had to work in order to get that. And so somebody said, oh, what about if you are out on vacation or sick time, you didn't work those hours, how's it going to happen? So I was quiet, listened to all this nonsense going on. And somebody asked me, so what about you? So I said, well, according to you guys, I'm already disqualified. So what do you mean? I said, well, I took 2 weeks vacation and I took two more weeks in Christmas, so I'm done. And he goes, well, you lose all that money. I said, well, so be it. If God wants me to have it, I have. If not, that's fine with me. And the guy goes, so you're so rich, you don't care about money. I said, no, I've been blessed beyond measure. And when you're blessed and satisfied, I don't talk the way you guys talk. If God wants me to have it, I have. If not, I feel the same way. I'll be fine with it. You're just trusting the Lord. See, a child of God who displays these graces in his life, he lives in victory. Not only does Ruth share the bounty of her provision with Naomi, but she also shares the remaining part of a portion that she was given by Boaz in verse 14. Ruth isn't selfish. She wanted to share what she had with Naomi. You know, Uncle, when you're excited, when something happened to you, don't you like to share with somebody? Oh, my poor wife, she had to put up with me sometimes when I get home and go, blah, 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 blah. And she listened to me for the longest time. Oh, goodness. But, you know, you're excited about it. It's good when God does something good in your life. So note this. We are not to simply hoard up the blessings of the Lord, but we are to share them with others. Whatever we have been blessed with God, with by God, has been given to us to use for His glory, whether it be a talent, God's truth, a gift, financial resources, etc. These blessings are given to us so that we might share with others. And some of you might be thinking, well, I'm non-believing socialism. Maybe our God is a socialist. Who knows that? I'm not trying to get in politics right here. But anyway, you know, it's a blessing when we have abundantly. And when we have, and we see somebody struggling with maybe a financial thing, whatever it is, and the Lord laid that burden heavy in our hearts, and we go out of our way and say, I want to be a blessing to you. The Lord ever put that in your heart? I'll tell you what, this Christmas, my wife and I, we stopped at Dunkin' Donuts, we order just for her a coffee. Was that a coffee? And we had to pay, and the lady said, oh, the person in front of you already paid for it. Oh, I mean, it was just a simple thing, but it blessed our hearts. It's like we didn't expect it. And, you know, it's those little blessings that cause us to move on. And let me tell you, Ruth went to the field to get something for the day. She was blessed by somebody. You say, well, it's because he liked her. It doesn't matter what it was. God used him. And she comes home and she becomes a blessing to Naomi, her mother-in-law, as well. You see, blessings, and they keep traveling if we give them that away to people. So number one, so God, the good news of God's provision. Number two, we see the good news of a redeemer. The good news of a redeemer. We see this from verse 19 to verse 21. The question made by Naomi to Ruth, where hast thou gleaned today? Make us believe that she was home anticipating some news from Ruth. She went find a job, to a place to glean, and she was out all day, and Naomi had no idea where she was. It's obvious that in those days, there were no cell phones, like I said, or any other form of communication. So Naomi was at home anticipating Ruth coming home to hear from her about that, her day. Let me tell you this. I remember this when I was a kid. My wife, we were in Portugal a couple years ago, right? 2 years ago. And she saw our hometown where I grew up. Now imagine that hometown. It's not very big. But in those days when I was a kid, there was no phones. I think one person had a phone in the whole town. So, you know, if I was in the soccer field playing away from home, let me tell you, news traveled. You know how they travel? This person told that person, that person told that person, and that person. And it went up, it got to me. Hey, your mother needs you. Oh. And as you walk home, somebody, that deep people, that, if those people see you, it's like, hey, your mother wants to see you. That's the way the communication went about. I said, that's the way we did it. And many times, I mean, they traveled fast, I mean, quick. But it reminds me of this, like, you know, where they lived, there was no form of communication. So Naomi has a, I mean, Naomi has an older lady. She's home and anticipating the news. So folks, let's talk for a moment about good news. By the way, who likes to hear or receive bad news anyway? I don't like bad news. You like bad news? I don't like bad news. I mean, you know, when somebody says to you, I have two types of news, good news and bad news. Which one you hear first? Just give me the good news and get it. No, I don't want to hear the bad ones. Just give me the good news. But anyway, all of us are prone to enjoy a good piece of news, don't we? Let me share a piece of good news that comes directly from the Word of God tonight. And this good news is for everyone that is, first of all, not a believer. That's a piece of good news. Well, you can get saved tonight and receive Jesus as your Savior. But there's another piece of good news as well. Here's the good news. Yeah, are you ready? God loves you. Is that good news? It is good news. We should rejoice in that. Yes, God loves me. Oh, my goodness, God loves me. It's a wonderful news. You know, when people walk around and say, nobody cares about me, nobody loves me. Yeah, I mean, I'm insignificant. I feel like I don't even exist in the minds of people. And it weighs heavy on you. But when we think about, you know what? God loves me. That's a reason to rejoice. So letter A, the person of interest. The person of interest. Look at verse 19. Look at what it says in the middle of the verse. Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. When Naomi sees that Ruth has returned with the amount of food that she had, she was overwhelmed and begins to magnify the person who has given so much. She can easily see that you don't get this much by merely gleaning. She could see that. She knows that someone had blessed them with an open hand. She blessed the person who has taken knowledge of Ruth. So Naomi, knowing that, she knows that what Ruth's bringing home is a blessing. And she blesses the person. And let me tell you, it's one thing that we need to do as Christians is to acknowledge people when they do something good and come to us. We say, praise the Lord for that. And I know sometimes we want to do something. We don't want nobody to know. We just want to keep it between us and the Lord. And I understand that. And so, you know, but we don't want to feel boastful and prideful about it. You just want to help someone that way. But let me tell you, but when we hear that somebody do something good and for the Lord and towards another person, let me tell you, we ought to rejoice in the Lord, not just say, oh, but this. No, don't ask. Just bless, praise the Lord. Say, praise the Lord for your heart. Praise the Lord for your kindness. Praise the Lord for your willingness to do such a thing. Naomi realized that the person who gave them this grain was noticed Ruth and wanted it to be a special blessing to her. Naomi doesn't know yet, neither does Ruth, but Ruth was being noticed by one who is interested in knowing her better. We see this in several passages in the book of Ruth. He is interested in her situation. Note this, the Lord Jesus is interested in you tonight. Whether you are in the mountaintop or whether you are in the valley below, He is interested in you. Don't give up on Jesus. Don't say, what's the use going to church? What's the use reading my Bible? What's the use? Where is God when I need Him? He's right beside you. Don't be too blind that you cannot see Him. He sends His servants to you. He sends them to you. And sometimes He sends angels unaware and they come to help you. God will never leave His children alone. If you're in the valley below, guess what? God is interested in you. He wants to put you in a mountaintop. And that's exactly what He's doing to Ruth right here. Ruth went to get some food for a day, and God says, oh, Ruth, I'm going to give you food for a week. And when you go home, you go to that bitter Naomi. That's when she sees the food, she's going to rejoice, and her heart's going to get warmer. And that's what the Lord does in our lives. Don't get focused on the problems. Focus on God, because God will take care of the problems. And so it's easy for you to say, listen, I'll go through my problems as well. Don't focus on the problems that we forget God in a big picture. Don't you ever come and sometimes drive or look at the or go to a place? You know, it's one thing that makes me think about this all the time. When I go into the ocean shore, this is me. It just comes to mind, it doesn't fail every single time. When I look at the ocean shore and I begin to look at the skies and look at the ocean and the shore, it happens every time. And it always is the question, oh, Lord, who am I? I'm just a little in this world. You're so big. And I'm looking at His creation. You see, in the gravity of the earth and the way the waters are in place and the skies, you have to say, Lord, sometimes I think I'm this big person, which I'm just like about this small. God is so good. I tell you what, every single time I go to the ocean, that happens to me. I think about God and who am I before Him. You see, the word knowledge conveys the idea of paying attention to acknowledge, to notice. Naomi realizes that the person who gives them the grist grain noticed Ruth and wanted to be a special blessing to him. And let me tell you, Jesus is interested on you tonight. If you are on the mountaintop, if you're in the valley below, Jesus is interested on you. He loves you enough. If you are lost, He's interested on bringing you salvation. If you are cold and backsliding, He's interested on knowing you intimately so you can come out of that stage. Listen, when life is bad, when problems are hard, when we think we're all alone, it's easy to get bitter and sometimes even bitter at God. And God knew that at home, it was a woman by the name of Naomi who was bitter. And He said, you know what, I'm going to bless Ruth. And Ruth's going home all happy and joyful, satisfied. And I'm going to warm up that heart of that backslidden woman. Let it be, we see the person involved. Look at verse 19. And he said, the man's name which whom I wrought today is Boaz. Not only is Boaz interested in Ruth's situation, he is now involved in the situation. He has opened his hands and his heart to Ruth, and he's taking steps to improve her condition. Look at then Ruth chapter 2, verse 11. It says, and Boaz answered and said unto her, it had folly been showed me. Ruth 2:15 says, Boaz commended this young man, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not. And verse 16 of chapter 2, it says, and leave them that she may glean then and rebuke her not. So in these verses, we see Boaz busy working behind the scenes to do what Ruth needs. He takes interest on her. He keeps an eye on her. He makes provision for Ruth. He's involved in her life. And let me tell you, all these things that we see right here, he takes interest on her. He keeps an eyes on her. He makes provision for her. He's involved in her life. Guess what? The same thing, that's our God as well. You see, our God is interested in you. God has an eye on you. He keeps an eye on you. He provides for you. He is involved in our lives. Let me tell you this. Don't shut the door on God. Don't shut the door on God. Some people have shut the door on God. Throw their Bibles in some way and they don't want to look at it anymore because they're so mad at God. Don't do that. Because he wants the best for you. Folks, keep in mind here that no man in Boaz's position, and that includes him, it would take interest on any of the gleaners that would come to the fields. It was like he kept attention on her because he was attracted to her, obviously. But that's the way our God is, if we're going to compare one with the other. So listen, please, our heavenly Boaz is also involved in your life and mine. Yes, there are times when we cannot see him. And there are times when his hand is not visible. But let me tell you, our God is always there. Sometimes, you know, we are really deep in the dark valleys and we don't see the hand of the Lord, but he's there. He's there working to make the situation better. He loves you unconditionally, and his goal for you is blessings after blessings. Actually, go to Psalm chapter 121. I want you to see that because the Bible describes that for us. Psalm 121, let's look at these verses right here very quick. Look what it says in verse 1. I will lift mine eyes unto the hills. From hence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Verse 5 says, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, and shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy goings out, and thy coming in from thy time forth and forevermore. See, folks, the person behind the scenes guiding his children along is none else but the Lord Jesus Christ. He's behind you. He's keeping you. He wants to put you in a mountaintop. Let me tell you this. If you're in the mountaintop, rejoice. Sing unto the Lord. Praise his name. Listen, we have a tendency in our prayers to be just, Lord, I need this and this and this and this and this and this. And it's a list like, you know, you go into the grocery store. But listen, and there are things that we should ask the Lord because there are things in our lives that is impossible for us to get to it. Lord, this person is sick. Or this, and we pray for other people. We, you know, it's needs, but let me tell you, what about just, Lord, you're so good. You're so loving. You're so merciful to me. You're so kind. You guide me. How about praising the Lord for who he is? Sometimes that's what we need to do. Remind ourselves of the greatness of our God. Because he's a great God. When we fall, he's there to lift us up. When we are discouraged, he's there to encourage us. When we are lost, he always shows us the way. When we are indecisive in our journey, he's there to guide us. When we cry, he wipes our tears. When we are lost, he shows us the way. We serve a good God. You say, where was God when I was discouraged? Did he send a servant to come talk to you? To encourage you? Did he give you that passage in Scripture that you read and blessed your heart? Did he spoke to you through a message that you needed to hear? See, God is always there. You know what we need to do? We need to open our hearts to him. We really need to open our hearts and say, Lord, I am struggling here. Where are you? Believe me, when you begin to ask, where are you, Lord? He's going to show you where he is. He's going to show you. I remember one time, I was going to surgery. I was at Kent County Hospital going to surgery. I told my pastor that night, like, you know, we were at a deacon's meeting that night. I said, tomorrow I'm going to surgery. And they prayed for me. We were there praying. The deacons and the pastor was there. And the next day in the morning, I was there. Believe me, I was a little concerned. I was going to surgery. And I was there. The nurse was taking care of me. She was going on other things, like I was there. And I was a little tense and unrelaxed. I confess I'm a human being. And I needed something. And then I know the Lord was with me. And it was okay. When I heard a voice, I'm looking for so-and-so. And just a smile and a warmth came. You know, it was my pastor. He get up, he went there, and he was there right before surgery. And he gave me a hug, and he prayed with me. And let me tell you, when I was discouraged, God sent a servant. That's what God does. He said, Lord, where were you? When we open our hearts, we see it. And Lord says, I'm right here. You go do your surgery, you'll be okay. Let us see. You see, the instrumental person. We see from verse 20 and 21. So folks, more than likely, Boaz looked at Ruth for the first time and immediately had a crush on her. Actually, that's the way most people will describe his actions towards Ruth. But what Boaz then even realizes is that he intended that which he is being used in he was being used in the lives of these two women. He had become an instrumental piece in the hands of the Lord. And let me tell you tonight, let me tell you this. God wants to use you as an instrument of grace in his hands so you can be a blessing to somebody else. That's what the Lord wants to do. Listen, okay, you can say, well, as a person look at this thing and say, well, look at that Ruth and like she's a pretty woman, got a crush on her and began to do all these things for her, wants to please her. All right. Let's look at this from a spiritual sense right here. Was the Lord working behind the scenes? Yes. You know what the Lord did with Boaz? Used him as an instrument of grace towards that woman. Not only to that woman, but to her mother-in-law as well. And let me tell you, if we open our hearts to the Lord, if we walk with the Lord, let me tell you, God can use you as an instrument of grace towards those who are in need. Towards your brothers and sisters, towards your family at home, towards all kinds of people. God can use you as an instrument of blessings to somebody. And let me tell you, he used Boaz and he can use you. There are three ways in which Boaz is being used by God as an instrument of blessing to these two women. Number one, Boaz is used as an instrument of revival. We see this in verse 21. Look at it. It says in the verse, Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be the Lord who had not left all of his kindness to the living and to the dead. Now, who's talking right here? A backsliding believer, a bitter believer. You see, God is using Boaz to be an instrument of grace to whom? Naomi. And that blessing came, and that grace came through Ruth. And let me tell you, this man became an instrument of grace to those two women. Boaz is used as an instrument of revival. You know what he does? His actions, what he did for this young woman, it revived the heart of a backslidden person. And let me tell you, folks, again, it's not just say, I trust the Lord, I believe in the Lord, and not just say, I have faith in the Lord, but it's to walk in faith, to walk in trust, and to walk in belief. And when we do that, guess what? God uses you as an instrument of grace to other people. But let me tell you, sometimes we're in the church, we don't ever know who's struggling, who is in the valley, who needs help, who needs encouragement, who needs to be blessed. We don't know. But if we use an instrument of grace, let me tell you what God's going to do. He's going to use you where you are to be a blessing or a revival to someone that needs to be revived. And you might not even know. You see, Boaz might be attracted to the woman, to Ruth, when he saw her. But besides that, he was being a blessing of revival to a woman that was at home. You see that? Maybe we don't forget that. You might be in a position tonight in which you have allowed your heart to grow cold and hard towards the things of God. You might be in the position tonight where you lost faith in the Lord and have allowed bitterness to penetrate your heart. Folks, let me remind you tonight that when we allow circumstances dictate our mind, our heart can be filled with bitterness and anger towards God. I just want you to open your heart and open your mind to the Lord, because He wants to bless you. He wants to make you an instrument of revival to someone else. Get this. Why allow bitterness when we can ask Jesus for forgiveness? Why allow bitterness when we can ask Jesus for forgiveness? 1 John 1:9, but if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Number two, Boaz is used as an instrument of redemption. As Naomi listens to Ruth speaks, the wheels in her mind are turning. She hears the name Boaz and says that he is a near kin of kin. So this means that she thinks that he might be a distant relative of theirs. And she remembers who he is, and he says he is one of our next kinsmen. So not only is he an instrument of revival, but also instrument of redemption. When Naomi hears the name, he said, oh, he's in our family line. He can be our redeemer. You know, we might not think much about this today, but for those two women, they knew exactly what that meant. Their conditions were very, very poor. They were in a very sad predicament. And let me tell you, that word redeeming, it was very good. It was very good. And let me tell you, he's used by the Lord as an instrument of redemption. Let me tell you, can you be used as an instrument of redemption today? When we walk in the footsteps of Jesus, learning with the Master, when we walk in His footsteps, doing what He commands us to do, guess what? He's going to lead you to people that are searching for Him. He's going to give you those divine appointments of people who are looking for Him. And what you do, you can become an instrument of redemption. Lead someone to Christ. Almost done. Number three, you see, Boaz is used as an instrument of refreshment. Ruth tells Naomi, verse 21, that she will be going back to the field to work until the harvest was ended. In other words, they are going to enjoy plenty because of this man named Boaz. Isn't that refreshment? When we have plenty? All right, so, put it this way. You lost your job. You're not collecting anymore. You try the government. Government says, well, get a life. You go home. Your refrigerator is empty. Your pantry has nothing. You're struggling. Where am I going to get food? How are we going to eat? How are we going to pay the bills? Then you walk home. And let's say one of your kids walk home and brings home a whole load of groceries, puts it in the refrigerator, and you say, where do you got this from? Well, hey, the people down the street heard about our predicament. Just give it to us. It's refreshing, isn't it? There's food. It's exactly what happened here, folks. Naomi is at home waiting. And he comes Ruth with food enough for a week, and she goes back so she can get more food. Don't you think it's refreshing? Oh, yes, it is. You see, we live with so much stuff. We have so much in we open our refrigerators and go, okay, I don't like this. I don't want this. I don't want this. I don't feel like eating nothing of this. Let me order out some food. Isn't that what we do? You know what? Because we have so much. What about if you open your refrigerator and the only thing you have is nothing? You know why you open your refrigerator and everything is full? You go, oh, it's refreshing, isn't it? I'm not going to tell you about my childhood because I'll be crying here. But anyway, I emphasize with this, I understand what it says right here. So Boaz and his instrument of refreshment to these two ladies. I conclude with this, folks. Both Ruth and Naomi were in desperate need of a redeemer. Boaz was the redeemer that they needed. And you know what? And God was behind the scenes working in this situation. Listen, folks, that's what God does for you and does for me. God loves you, and he wants to bring you to the mountaintop and keep you there. Because many times, and I close with this, many times we go to the valleys because of our wrongdoing. God doesn't drive us to the valleys. We drive ourselves there. That's what we do. We put ourselves there. And God, when he sees us there, God is the one who goes behind us and try to put us back in the mountaintop. Let's pray.